your Bibles very quickly tonight, would you open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? A wonderful message has already been preached. I don't have to add much to it. I think one word applies to what we saw today, especially in that very touching final scene. And that's the word reconciliation. The word reconciliation means to win over a hostile person to friendliness, to cause to become amicable, to bring into agreement or harmony, to make compatible or consistent. What a beautiful, touching scene we saw in that final scene where a man is reconciled to God as he bends his knee and receives Christ as Lord and Savior. And then to see a marriage that is fractured, reconciled with one another, and a family come together. And though that scene was fictitious tonight, I want you to know that very same scene has played out in reality millions and millions of times since Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And I can tell you firsthand tonight that the story you just saw is the testimony of my life. When my father got saved, God reconciled him to himself. He reconciled him to my mother and put a family together. And I want you to know today that the most wonderful good news anyone could ever hear is that God wants to be reconciled to you. Now, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read very quickly just a few verses, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or sins unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Three very quick thoughts about reconciliation tonight. I want you to notice, number one, that God desires to reconcile you to him. Now, notice I did not say God wants to reconcile with you. There's a subtle but important difference there. Over the years, I've been the Reformers Unanimous Director here at our church, and that's a program designed to help those that are struggling with stubborn habits or addictions. And very often over the years, I've done marriage counseling with those couples, and as you can imagine, when they come in, their marriages, their lives are a total mess. And like most marriage counseling I've done, when you sit a couple down and they're having problems, the very first thing they want to do is tell you about all the problems that their mate has. That's what they want to do. And after I listen to that for about 15 seconds, that's all I can take. I look at that person who's complaining about their mate, and I ask them something like this. Could it be possible that you are at least part of the problem? They kind of look around, and they think to themselves, and they say, okay, maybe 5% of the problem, okay? And I say, okay, we can live with that. And then I look at the other mate and say, could it be possible that you are part of the problem? And they say, well, I guess it could be possible that, yes, I am contributing some of the problems to this relationship. And that's when I know, when they admit that we're ready for some reconciliation. Why? Because both partners now working to fix their own problems, because you can't fix your mate. Working to fix their own problems, and when two partners willing to fix their own problems, work hard at it, but God's grace helps them fix it, that's called reconciliation. Now listen, your relationship with God is not like that. We don't need to be reconciled to God because he has turned his back on us. We need to be reconciled to God because we have turned our backs on him. The aggression, the problems in this relationship are totally one-sided. Our sin tonight has fractured the most important relationship in our lives, and that's our relationship with God. But the story of the Bible, over and over and over again, is that God is seeking to reconcile sinners to himself. Now, how does he do that? Well, the text tells us. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So, how can sinful people be in a relationship with a holy God? And the Bible's answer is this: through the work of the God-man. Jesus was wrapped in humanity one Christmas morning, sent by God to reconcile a broken world to himself. And that's why he went to Calvary. Think about this with me for a moment. If sin was what fractured our relationship with God the Father, then for us to get back into relationship with him, for us to be reconciled to him, something was going to have to be done with our sin. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, so that he could defeat sin. One of my favorite preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said this: there can be no peace with you and God as long as there is peace between you and sin. Do you know what Jesus did? He went to the cross to defeat your sin so that the hostility between you and God could be put away forever. I've heard it explained like this: that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took one arm. And with one arm, he reached out to sinful man. And with the other arm, he reached out to holy God. And on the cross, Christ reconciled them, the one to the other. Today, in Christ's stead, I pray you tonight be reconciled to God. If you're separated from God because of your sin, it's not because God hasn't done everything he could do to bring you back. He has. That's what Christmas is all about. Tonight, if you're separated from God, it is only because you will not turn to him by faith and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I hope that tonight, when we have an invitation here in just a moment, that we have people reconciled to God. Well, one more thing, or two more things quickly to say about reconciliation. Number two, and this is so key: God desires that we be reconciled with one another. That's what we saw. Once people are reconciled to God, it is possible for even the most fractured of relationships to be restored. Listen to what Jesus, the great reconciler, said in Matthew 5:24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Christians, I believe that one of the reasons our worship is so cold sometimes is because we absolutely refuse to be reconciled with other people. Christmas is a time of the year when we're very mindful of the relationships in our lives that have been fractured. People we used to love. Family we used to enjoy. Brothers and sisters in Christ we used to fellowship with. There are children that won't call their parents this Christmas. Brothers and sisters that won't exchange gifts or feel that familiar embrace. There are church members, members of the same faith family, that won't even walk across the auditorium to shake hands with their brother and sister in Christ. You say, Brother Tyler, you're meddling now. You don't know what they did, and I don't. But let me tell you, God does. And he also knows what you did to him. Can I remind you that no one has ever done you as much bad as you've done God? He knew all the bad that you would do, and yet he came anyway. He loved anyway. He died anyway. He reconciled you anyway. And you say tonight, well, they're not coming back to me. Don't hold your breath. They probably won't. But the message of Christmas is not that God was waiting for us to come to him. The message of Christmas is we weren't coming to him, and he came to us anyway. That's what the gospel is all about. So I think the greatest Christmas present I could offer some of you in this room today is to beg you to be reconciled in the relationships of your life that have been fractured and to call that parent on the phone again. To ask that brother or sister over for Christmas. To do whatever you can do to first of all give forgiveness and then see reconciliation in that relationship. Can I ask you, Christian, why should the world listen to our gospel of reconciliation when we won't even be reconciled to our own families? When we won't even be reconciled to one another? Would you like to worship Jesus this Christmas? Maybe you should leave your gift at the altar, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer the gift. One more thing about reconciliation tonight. Number three, God desires that the whole world would be reconciled to him. I love it. Look at what it says here. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So what does the gospel do? It takes people that need to be reconciled. It totally transforms their lives. Check out verse 17 sometime. And then after your life is transformed, he gives to you the ministry of reconciliation. You reaching out with the hands of Jesus to bring sinful man and holy God together. It says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This reconciliation isn't for one person in one place. It's for every person in every place. It goes on to tell us that we've been made ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Have you ever met an ambassador, a real life ambassador? Well, sure you have. I'm standing right here before you tonight. And if you're a Christian, you are too. What's an ambassador? It's a person who speaks as a representative for a king. And God has made each Christian in this room an ambassador, a representative, to go and tell a lost and dying world that God was in Christ so they could be reconciled to him. And it says here, and this is powerful, we speak to sinners in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God. How is a lost world going to hear that Jesus died for them? God's not going to call him on the telephone. He's not going to rent out 30-second ads for commercial time during the football game. How is a lost world going to hear that God wants them to be reconciled to him? Listen, through you, through me. We are his ambassadors. We speak in his stead. Be reconciled to God. One of my favorite hymn writers wrote a Christmas hymn. His name is Charles Wesley, and it's a hymn that we sing every year. You've heard it before, but it stood the test of time. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light in life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. In Christ's stead, I beg you tonight, be reconciled to God. Let's stand, please, every head bowed and every eye closed. This program has led us into a very natural presentation of the gospel tonight. The most tragic thing that I could think of this Christmas is for you to come and hear the gospel, the greatest gift that God ever gave anyone, and to reject it and walk away lost. So we want to give you here for just a few moments an opportunity to respond to this good news that you've heard that God wants you to be reconciled to him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you just a few questions tonight. Is there anybody here that would say, I'm just not 100% sure that I've ever been reconciled to God? I'm not sure I'm saved. Pastor Gillett, would you please pray for me? If that's you, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one else is looking around tonight. If that's you, would you just lift your hand with mine? I want to pray for you. I'm just not sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? I wonder how many of you would say there's a relationship in my life that's fractured. A reconciliation that needs to happen. I probably should have gone to this person some time ago, but I haven't. But God's spoken to my heart tonight. And tonight, I'm making a commitment that I'm going to do whatever I can to see this fractured relationship restored again. And that's the gospel. Does anybody here tonight say that's me? God spoke to my heart about some relationship in my life. Pastor Gillett, would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I see many hands like that. So I want to ask you, why don't you just leave your seat? We're about to start playing a hymn. Leave your seat, come down to the altar, get down on your knees, and ask God to give you the strength to do what you know you need to do this Christmas, to make that phone call, to knock on that door, to say you're sorry, to say I forgive. Brother Johnson's going to sing a hymn of invitation, and as he does, why don't you come if God has spoken to your heart?